Welcome to the Homesteading for the Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Amy Fuel. I'm the founder of Homesteaders of America, a published author, YouTuber, homesteader, homeschooling mama, herbalist, and more. Homesteading isn't just merely a trend. It's a movement of God within the earth. From the times of Adam and Eve and even Joseph to the modern day church, farming and homesteading has been a lifestyle that God has called his people back to continuously. It isn't just a modern way to live, it's a biblical way to live. In every single Homesteading for the Kingdom episode, we talk about homesteading, Jesus, this way of life, education, the Bible, and how kingdom work is powerful in this movement in every way. Homesteading is preparing the remnant for what's to come, and we're here for it. Welcome to the podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to episode 3 of the Homesteading for the Kingdom podcast. Eventually, I'm going to lose count here and forget which episode we're on, so I'll just say welcome. But I wanted to welcome you this week because this week is a little bit different than what other weeks may look like. This is something that I wanted to share with you guys because I had an interesting experience with the Lord. It is not uncommon for me to have dreams. And for years, I have tried to ask the Lord for interpretation of dreams and to give me clarity on dreams. And so it's only been in the last 2 years that I've actually started really paying attention to what the things are that God's saying to me in these dreams, but also I've had to pay attention to what's of him and what is not of him, which is so vital in these days that are here. And so one of the ways that I have tried to thwart what may not be from him is guarding my mind and guarding my eye gates is what I like to call them. And so what I've been doing personally is maybe limiting my time on Facebook or limiting my time watching conspiracy-minded things, limiting my time on flipping through reels. A lot of reels are conspiracy-minded. And I'm not saying anything about conspiracy because I totally believe that most of what's out there for conspiracy is actually truth. But I needed to guard my mind and guard my heart and guard everything that I was doing because the Lord speaks to me visually most of the time. And so if I am a visual person, then I need to guard, most importantly, my visual aspect of my life. And so I noticed when I started doing this that the Lord really started giving me more impactful dreams because I could navigate them better and I wasn't influenced from an outward influence. And so today I'm going to go over a couple of things and a prophetic word that the Lord gave me. I gave this prophetic word to our church a couple of weeks ago. I felt really compelled to give the word to them first before I started giving it to the broader public. But I do believe that it is also for the broader public because it's especially for the homesteading community and the church in general. And so I'm just going to go through it today. Basically, the Lord gave me 2 dreams, and then he gave a friend of mine a dream that was essentially the missing piece to the dreams that I had had. So I'm going to open my phone here for those of you who are watching on YouTube. For those who are listening, you're like, okay, great. Because I have a lot of notes on this dream, all right? I want to note that this all started happening in January. So at the beginning of January, the Lord gave me a dream that was very interesting. Funny story, I actually tried to give this dream in the very first Homesteading for the Kingdom episode, and the audio wouldn't work, and now I know why, because it wasn't time to give that dream yet. So I'm going to read this to you, okay? So all this dream came together March 23rd. So several days before March 23rd, We were having multiple wildfires near our house. There was actually one right beside our house. There was one beside a friend of ours house that's up the road. They actually had to evacuate. We had to help them evacuate their livestock. The really interesting part is that a few weeks before this, there was a woman from our church who gave my husband and I a word. And basically the gist of that word, but her exact words were that soon the Lord will show you what his plans are for you. And he has you doing something new. You will go through with the fire and there will be fire all around you, but you will not smell like smoke. And the testimony that is that there was fire all around us. Our property for that first day never smelled like smoke. And it was like the worst ever. And it never smelled like smoke. There was not smoke on our property. There was smoke all around our property, but the smoke never actually touched our property, which was pretty incredible. Basically, that alerted me to say, okay, this is more than just about a physical fire. And this is more than just a spiritual, you know, walking through turmoil. God is showing us that he has us. And it's not just for this moment, but it's for moments to come. So back in August of 2023, I felt the Lord saying to me that we had three more good years before basically all hell breaks loose, literal hell, that we would begin seeing turmoil in 2024 that would gradually progress. And he was giving us three more good years. I say that in air quotes because they won't seem very good, but he's giving us the opportunity over these next 3 years to get our houses in order, to get our properties in order, to get our lives kind of in an orderly state, to reach who we can reach and to learn his word and his voice. If you guys, I've mentioned this in past episodes, if you've gone to read the Joseph Mansell article that I wrote, I talk a little bit more about that in there. And I actually published that in the HOA, Home Stars of America program last fall. So all of these things I wanted to tell you, they're vital for what I'm going to tell you about these dreams, which is, you know, it all goes together. And I think you're going to see this. Okay. I want to try to be as clear as possible when I tell you this word and when I share these dreams with you, because I also want you to be encouraged that sometimes God will give you dreams and a word, but it's not all of it. Okay, we prophesy in part, right? Not all of us have all the parts. Some people have other parts. So, all right, I'm going to get right into this. My friend sent me this text message on March 23rd, which was just a couple weeks ago. And she said, my husband, I'm not going to say his name, had a crazy dream last night. He woke up at 3:03 a.m. He dreamed he was in a basement looking for the safest place to go because there was a tornado. But helicopters were flying overhead with these old-time shackles with locks the size of small storage sheds. He said in his dream it meant the gates of hell had been unlocked and chaos was filling the earth, and that's what the tornado was. So it immediately reminded me of a dream I had in February of this year, but it also reminded me of the dream I had in January. I want you to remember this dream, okay? The gates of hell had been unlocked and there was chaos filling the earth. That was his dream. So here's my January dream. I'm going to kind of give you the rundown. We were in a different house, my family and I, but there were houses all around us, people we knew. We had a community. I could see 5 or 6 helicopters flying over the nearest city with spotlights. I asked my husband if he'd seen them and he rudely replied, "Of course I have," and went back inside. I sensed he was mad or frustrated with me about something, but I didn't know what. So him and I were preparing to leave for a wedding when suddenly a few of the helicopters tried to quietly fly over our house as low as the rooftop. I kept saying, they're landing," and he kept saying, "There's no way. I know they can't land here." I continued to watch one by one as they would touch down and then go back up, but my husband still did not believe me. And he walked away. Our oldest son was supposed to be staying home at the time, and it was at this moment I realized we probably shouldn't leave at all. We walked outside, and I kept trying to see what the side of the helicopter said. Now, I'm going to stop right here. The first thing that the Lord told me was, a house divided against itself will not stand. What's coming? What is coming? You must be sanctified, together, holy in your marriage. Okay. You must be on the same page. It doesn't mean you're not going to agree, you know, you're going to agree on everything, but it does mean that you are on the same page. You must make your marriage a priority. A house divided against itself is not going to stand what's coming. So we walked outside. I kept trying to see what the side of the helicopter said. One of them said something about beekeeping, but I knew it wasn't about beekeeping. I thought maybe it had to do with bee disease or spraying the air. That wasn't it either. I knew spiritually in this dream that was not it. And you're going to learn a little bit more about that in a second. Suddenly, all of the helicopters were over our community now, the little community we had. They had loudspeakers, but I couldn't make out what they were saying, except that one of the passes was closing and we would soon have to remain at home. We don't really have passes here, but interestingly enough, the fire that came through the weeks before, they actually did shut down the major highways that were here, which I thought was interesting, but I don't know if that's the same thing or not, but suddenly there was chaos and everyone came out of their houses crying and screaming. I kept asking them what the helicopters had said. And one man who I personally know to be very dramatic just kept saying, they said, we're all going to die. That's it. This is the end. I kept asking him to tell me the exact words that were said, not his interpretation. To finally, I was very frustrated and telling him, you have to tell me what they said, not what you think they said. He calmly looked at me and said there was something coming. They said there was something coming and we don't really have a chance. And they were warning us that we had to stay home. So I'm going to skip a little ahead here because there was a personal word for a friend in this moment. Basically, that friend called to tell the people we were all going to a wedding that we weren't coming yet. And then this friend said, I'm going to die. We comforted her and told her she was going to be fine. We had plenty. We would take care of her. But how in the dream, I thought to myself, it would be so much better if they had their own home right now. And so I want to take that as a broader word that if you are in a situation where you have not put down roots and God is saying you need to put down roots here and you're not doing it, it's time to do it. It doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter where it is. God might be calling you to a different state. God might be calling you to live in a shack. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Move. Maybe it's a huge house. You know, maybe it's an amazing house. It's not about the house. It's about the location. And God wants you to be there, okay? For some reason, he's going to use you there. So I told everyone to muster up their strength, get control of their emotions. As I started walking back to my house, I stood at the hill and kept thinking of the verse, "You shall live and not die." I walked inside and saw the kids sitting on the sofa, just as happy as could be, as if nothing was happening. And I looked at my husband and said, "Well, it's time to make food." So then I woke up and the Lord immediately took me to the "You will live and not die" scripture. And it's Psalm 118:10-18. And this is what it says. Now listen to me, okay? Listen to what it says, because I had not heard this. I had not read this scripture in a very long time. And so I know that my mind could not have even thought about this, okay? It says, "All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall live and not die," is what it says. But it says, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death." And the word chastened, a lot of people don't understand that word. Basically, it means that the Lord is rebuking you for certain things. He's trying to get you in order, but he doesn't want to give you over to death. He wants to sanctify you. Be holy, for I am holy, right? We talked about that in the last episode. But he doesn't want you to die. He's not giving you over to death. He wants a renewed mind and a renewed spirit. So one of the major things I took from this was wedding. The bridegroom is coming. We were preparing for a wedding, but not yet. I know there's a lot of prophecies out there right now about the eclipse and how Jesus is coming back on the eclipse. I can pretty much tell you that he's not, just because there's a lot of things that have not lined up. One of those things being that the 12 tribes of Israel are not represented in Israel yet. Only four are. And so that could happen very quickly, but I don't think it's going to happen before April 8th. That's just my opinion. So that led me to the February dream, okay? The February dream is extremely heavy for me to share, because I can still, as I recall this dream, I can still feel the burdened heart of the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, he only gave me like a snippet of that, and it was unbearable for me to bear. It was unbearable for me. And that's why I was crying for days and days and days. So I want to tell you this dream, okay? This dream was unlike any other dream I've had. And after I go through this dream, I'm going to talk to you about the interpretation of all of these dreams, including my friend's dream being the missing piece. I'm not even sure what this dream was. It was very vivid. I've never had one quite as vivid, except I felt a lot of tangible fear, confusion, and oppression from the people in the dream. Whoever we was, like our normal typical friends group, now we were sitting down for a dinner party, basically, in a beautiful field. It was beside a gravel road with trees lining it and a steep hill covered in trees on one side of the road. The field was on the other side of the road. It was beautiful. It was a huge table that was prepared and laid out before us, and we were getting ready to have dinner at this table. So keep in mind, January dream, we were getting ready to go to a wedding. We were getting ready to do the table. And February dream, there's a table ready and has been prepared, and we were helping prepare that table. So I remember my husband and many of our friends being there, and I decided to turn around as they were preparing and look down the road, and there was a curve in the road, and we were right where the curve was. And so I'm going to stop there in the dream and tell you, we are at the curve. We are at the cusp of what is about to come that I'm about to tell you. We are there. There is no, it's going to come in 1,000 years. This is, we are there. We are turning a curve into something very not great, right? But in order for there to be a great awakening, there often is preceded by a great darkness. So the road going away from us was straight, and it was dark because there were so many trees hanging over it. Suddenly, I saw a little man with an old world looking jacket running down the road away from me. I felt compelled to run after him because he wasn't of this world. As I continued to run down this dark road after him, the scenery began to change. It was still dark, but now the trees and vines on both sides of the road, it had come up and made woven walls and a ceiling. You could barely see the sun shining through this woven wall and ceiling. And the little man began to flicker in and out, still running, and he was starting to look more and more transparent. And in this moment, I knew we were changing worlds. We were going from a physical world into a spiritual world. Suddenly, as I'm running down this, basically it looked like a tunnel, I realized there were people walking along the edges of this tunnel, and many had boxes and luggage. So they were walking the direction we came from, not the direction we were going. And the people who were closer to the beginning of the tunnel where we just came from, they had less baggage. Many of them had no baggage. And as we kept going through further and further into the tunnel, people had more and more baggage, more and more boxes, more and more luggage. And they were so weighed down. They were just heavy. And so not a single one of these people were trying to get into the side we were running to. All of these people were trying to flee to the side we were coming from. The little guy that I was chasing had disappeared at this point. I stood next to a woman who was checking someone out, but let me back up a little bit. Suddenly, I came to a screeching halt before that, because the tunnel was now a setup station. It was Border Patrol. But it was a little more friendly looking. There were tables set up and people checking luggage and baggage, but also the history of the person trying to come into the other side. Not a single person was trying to get into that side. All these people were trying to flee. So I stood next to this woman who was checking someone out. You were checking out of the bad side and getting to the good side. And there was a woman who was trying to bring all of her Christmas decorations with her and all of these other things that she had not put away yet. And she wanted me to start packing her Christmas ornaments away for her so she could bring them with her. And I just looked at her and I said, no, you don't need these things. You need to hurry up and get out of here. And she frantically looked around as if she couldn't make a decision. And it was just such an interesting thing because I'm like, why? It's clear that what's coming towards us is not good. And you're standing here and you can't make a decision. So the Lord said to me, we cannot be in a valley of decision. These people were being snatched from the fire because they were turning to Christ, but some couldn't leave their baggage behind. You cannot hold on to luggage and fly at the same time, okay? You got to check your bags, and some of you got to just get rid of them completely. So I was literally feeling the heart of the Father, and I was getting ready to feel it more. I want to talk to you a little bit about Joel 3 before I move into this, okay? And this talks about the valley of decision. Joel 3, 9 through 16 says this, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around, because your mighty ones, cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. That's the encouragement. But God will be a shelter, okay? So at this point, I decided in the dream, I needed to see what was happening on the other side. And I left to go to the other side. I don't remember much from the other side. But I remember seeing complete turmoil, properties on fire, and a sense of complete destruction. And I remember crying and crying and crying while I was dreaming this. At one point, I think I even woke up a little bit because the Lord wanted me to see that physically I was also crying, not just spiritually, not just in my dream. My body was interceding. And my heart was so devastated. No one person was created to see the amount of destruction and death that I was seeing. But I forgot about it. When I woke up, I couldn't remember any of what was on the other side. And I believe the Lord has allowed me to not remember it because it is such a heavy burden. And this world did not look like our world. It was very spiritual, AI looking kind of. It was weird. There were trees cut down to the ground. There was scorched land everywhere. It was just everywhere. Now, this was the spiritual side of it. This was not necessarily physical. It was spiritual. So I stepped out of this land and I stepped back to the Border Patrol. And again, I saw this little man with a jacket. This time he was running towards where we had come from, which was the beautiful field with the dinner party. And so I ran as quickly as I could, my heart still breaking for these people. But it was about to break even more. I reached the other side, to the side where there was a room before getting to the dinner party. And the man turned and told me to rest for a bit. I did. Some people came in to talk to me, but I don't remember what we talked about. I just remember laying on a bed and resting. And I think this is really important for us to remember that we have to rest. We have to take our day of rest. And a day of rest is not just to sit down and rest. It is to rest in God. It is to seek His face. It is to pray and fast and intercede and ask Him, what is my next step? I got up and we began running again. This little guy was always in front of me. He was never beside me and he was never behind me. He was always way up in front of me. Suddenly we ran past the dinner party and I abruptly stopped. The setting of the table was done. Everyone was just sitting there waiting and they were looking at me and instantly they knew something was very wrong. Suddenly the entire scenery changed. It was as if we were picked up and placed in a different scene. And we were in a grocery store. A man came up to help us with something. He worked there in the food industry. But I knew he wasn't good, even though most thought he was okay. He stepped away for a moment, and I proceeded to explain to the others what I had seen. And one girl shouted, "This man's an imposter. We have to look at his travel records and see who he really is." At that point, I realized it was very, very dark outside. And in the distance, I could see this dark fire rolling in the sky. It was like fire and smoke and clouds rolling in the sky, in the darkness. And I knew this was it. In those groups of people from the other side, certainly there were people coming to Christ, but there were also hidden leaders who came from a world of destruction, and now they were hidden among us all and were bringing destruction here. I had a strong sense that these were, you know, there were people coming into the grocery store, and the things that were being burned were farms and properties. And we began seeing farmers frantically coming into the store, searching for food and help. And I began crying again so hard. I remember seeing what I had seen in the other world and thinking, it's here. Everyone became frantic and wondering what we should do. But we couldn't do anything. We were all very confused. There was like a confusion had come over us that we had forgotten who we were. We had forgotten whose we were. And we were more focused on what was happening than the promises we had been given. And so I believe this point, the scenery changed again. And it was just our friends group. And we were in a small house strategizing. We felt hope, but despair at the same time. And then I woke up. I woke up when we were strategizing. We were making a plan. And so it's apparent that I was going through as the spiritual and physical world, okay? And the Lord actually took me to a couple of different scriptures. And so I want to read this to you. It says, I said, it's possible to feel hope while feeling the burden of God's heart for people. And that's what I was feeling. I was seeing these people coming through the tunnel and I was screaming at them like, let it all go so that you can be set aside, set apart and protected away from this that's coming. But then I was seeing the physical, the spiritual manifest in the physical. And there was so much despair in that. There was despair in the spiritual and there was despair in the physical. And we were navigating these two things. But it is possible to feel hope and despair at the same time. So I want to go back to the original dream that a friend of mine have. And when my friend told me this dream about the gates of hell being basically set loose on earth, immediately, and I'm going to tell you, I was not in any secret place. I was not in any spirit or state of holiness. I was sitting on my sofa reading this dream with kids acting crazy all around me. And suddenly, when I read the last word of this dream, God said, here's your missing piece. And immediately, he started downloading the interpretation of my two dreams coupled with this dream that this friend had just had. And he said, here's the scripture. And he gave me all of this information. He said, read this. Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Because for days after I'd had these dreams, the Lord kept saying to me as days went on, but the gates of hell will not prevail. Matthew 16, 13 through 19 says this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Okay. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, against his church. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I don't think we understand the heaviness of that until you have a dream like what I just shared. The world may be in chaos and evil, but it cannot prevail against Christ and his church. Before this, God took me into Isaiah 6, and it talks about, you know, the angels calling to one another and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it says, woe is me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. And he said this, go tell this people. I want you to hear this, okay? Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Okay? This is so important, I feel like, because we like to see things and try to understand it. We like to hear things and try to perceive it, or see things and try to perceive it. But that's not what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to depend on him to show us and let us hear. And I began to realize the missing pieces were being put together. I'm going to run down a list with you. Again, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Husband and wives, we have to be on the same page for what's coming. Spiritually, physically. And when one lacks, the other must be prepared to take up that lack. 2, the helicopters were taunting and testing. And I believe this now has begun. It's begun with the blackouts. It's begun as other nations prod not only the U.S., but other nations, and even our nation sabotaging itself. Okay? I'm just going to put that out there. The man who was in the first dream, who was like losing it, he has actually been, his farm, I think, burnt down years ago. And he also is a huge proponent for growing food. And I thought that was really interesting. God was basically saying, it can happen in the physical. You can be despaired in the physical and still prepare for new life in the physical. And then after this, you know, this man that was in the other dream, he was an imposter, and we knew this. And I believe that he is an imposter that is either already set in place or going to be set in place. And he has something to do with the food industry and maybe even agriculture. And I believe that we are being warned that whoever this person is, that's going to be risen up, basically to promise us help, is not to be trusted. And so all of this sounds very scary, but we are a different generation and we are raising a different generation, and we are raising a generation of warriors who need a firm foundation in what's to come. And so we don't fear, and we don't want them to fear, because the gates of hell will be defeated. God prepares his people in ways like this, not so we're going to be afraid. Fear paralyzes, okay? So if you're hearing this and you're fearful, that's the opposite. God is trying to prepare us, not only physically, okay? I'm talking more about spiritually prepare us, because in these days that are to come, we are going to have to know the voice of God. We are going to have to know the voice of God in the middle of chaos when we can't get to the secret place. And now we need to get to the secret place right now. It needs to be a priority. So I want to read this. God took me to Joel 2. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And I want you to listen to it very, very closely. The first part of Joel 2 is madness. The next part of Joel 2 is repentance. And the final part of Joel 2 is encouragement and refreshing. Okay. And this is what God showed me. This is what he wants for his people. The goodness. Okay. Joel 2 says, blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never seen, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds so they run. With a noise like chariots over mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them the people writhe in pain, all faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men, they climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now, therefore, those are good words. Now, therefore, now I've told you this. Therefore, this is what God is saying. Therefore, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. So rend your heart, not your garments. Get away from that baggage. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babies. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? I'm going to stop right there. I want to read verse 15 and 16 to you again. This is the part that I knew I needed to speak to our church, okay? And you need to hear this too, especially if you're, and you should be involved in a local church. Blow the trumpet in Zion. You're sounding the alarm. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. We're having fellowship together. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. You must be watching the word. Sanctification needs to come. This is a year of exposure, yes, but it's exposure for sanctification. Assemble the elders. Guess what? If your church doesn't have elders, your church is out of order. Plain and simple. And God cannot honor. He cannot do his work in your church if it's not properly set up from the foundation. Assemble the elders, it says. Gather the children and nursing babies. Children and babies should be in a congregation a lot. Can I tell you, when I gave this prophetic word, and it's a long word, I'm already at 40 minutes, and it was probably that long that morning. No, none of those children were squirmish. None of those children were screaming. None of those kids were out of order. They all sat there in awe at the prophetic word that I was giving from the Lord, from his spirit moving. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. All right, I'm going to move forward to verse 18. This is where refreshing comes. Then, okay, after we turn to God, then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army. Obviously, he's talking about Israel, and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land. With his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea, his stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors will be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the chewing locust, the consuming locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. I want to stop right there. This year, how many times, what have you already heard in these scriptures? The sun and moon will be darkened, and swarming locusts. That army we were talking about in the beginning of Joel, throughout scripture, it is often referenced to as swarming locusts. Guess what's happening in America this year? One of the biggest cicada hatches in our history, like in the last few centuries. And it's crazy, right? Verse 27 says, then you shall know. But again, after all of these bad things, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And we're already in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood. We just had blood moons last week, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant who the Lord calls. Okay. The Lord was faithful during our fires that we had here. Our property didn't smell like smoke. My friend's property had, she said when she got home, it looked like there was a fortified wall around her property. When she returned home, everything around them was burnt up. Their property was never touched. Her and I have both had dreams about our properties being supernaturally protected. And that's another story in itself. It was interesting because on the day that I wrote this, the mountains nearby had still been on fire. God sent massive rains that day and put all of the fire out. How faithful is he? How faithful is he? This was not a normal, oh, the park is on fire. It's going to be on fire for weeks and we're going to, you know, hope it gets put out soon. No, 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 no. This was fire came and tried to devour everything. And God said, no, no, I'm putting you out. You're going out now. And he opened up the floodgates of heaven. The Bible talks about the floodgates of heaven. The Bible talks about the treasuries of rain and dew and frost and all of these things. So who are we to believe that they're not from God? He opened it up and he put all the fire out with his rain. That was faithfulness. That was faithfulness. Okay. The Lord is calling us to assembly. The Lord is calling us to fasting and prayer. We cannot, listen, if you claim to be a Christian and you are claiming to be part of the body of Christ, we cannot forsake the assembly anymore. Guess what? If your church is not walking in the way it should be, churches should also not be boring. If the Spirit is at a church, you should not be bored. You should not be falling asleep during the sermon. If the Holy Spirit is moving, you will be excited. You will be. If you're not excited at your church, if you are not getting fed at your church, but also if you're not active in your church, then it might be time to move on, okay? Or get active and try, you know, contend for reformation. We contended for reformation in a church that we were in recently. We went there for a few years. The leadership didn't want reformation. They didn't want to allow the Holy Spirit to move. And so guess what? The Lord released us and we were like, okay, let's go. And he released us into a church atmosphere where he said, this is what I want my body to be. I want to move freely among them. I want to move among my people. Since the beginning of time, God has wanted to freely move among his people. In the garden, he walked with Adam and Eve. In the Old Testament, he dwelled among the Israelites. In the New Testament, now we have the Holy Spirit within us. But God still has the desire of his Holy Spirit to dwell among his people in assembly as well. The church is to edify one another. If you're doing it alone, you're not doing it right. You're out of order. We were always created to be doing this together. Each one, Ephesians said, the whole New Testament says, to each one is given a special gift. To each one is given a calling, basically, of the fivefold ministry or something along those lines of ministry. Not necessarily that you'll be a pastor. That's not what I'm saying. But we are all given these things so that the body can be part apart and come together to make a whole. And so God is calling us to assembly. At the same time, God is calling us to fasting and prayer. In the first dream was a wedding. The wedding was coming, but not yet. In the second dream, we were closer. The wedding table was being prepared. And we know what comes after the preparation of a table. And so in the first dream, I had seen nations coming against us. I had seen people not prepared. In the second dream, I saw the spirituality of it all, of people turning to God or people who claimed to be Christians that weren't right. They weren't right with him yet. They had baggage. They didn't want to let the Spirit flow. They wanted to be between two worlds. They wanted to have their foot on each side of the fence. I saw, you know, a devastation coming. I saw devastation already here. I saw people who were prepared physically, not prepared spiritually. And that's a big deal. And I saw darkness. I saw great, great evil darkness that was coming. And it's coming and it's already here. And so while I'm thinking about all of this, the Lord said, go to Psalm 23. And I want you to read Psalm 23. And I want you to see how differently it hits now. You know, David wrote Psalm 23, and I cannot imagine what he was going through when he wrote this, But I can now. I can imagine now because I've seen such evil. And the Lord is calling us to such radical faith in Him. So I'm going to read Psalm 23 to you. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so the Lord began to talk to me. And I was just sitting there and I'm making these notes. I'm just going to read them to you in all of their rawness. "We have been anointed for such a time as this. God has prepared a table for us in the presence of the evil that is coming." When I say us, I mean His body, the body of Christ, the true body of Christ. "While we prepare altars of a sweet smelling incense for Him." And that's so key. If we are not daily preparing an altar for Him, of dying to ourself and surrendering to Him, what are we doing? We should not fear. In fact, we are being called up to battle. We are being called to beat our plowshares into swords for the kingdom. I believe all of these dreams have a common thread, and here it is, spiritually and physically. Our walls have been penetrated in our country, in the body of Christ, and communities by an organized enemy. Okay, physically and spiritually. Our nation has been warned time and time again that if it does not realign with God, then God will lift His hand. And I remind you from the book of Job, we talked about this in the last episode, that God Himself doesn't do evil. He simply lifts His hand of protection and allows evil to have its way. We have a God who allows us to choose. We get to choose heaven or we get to choose hell. It's laid out clearly in our handbook, our Bible. We get to choose righteousness or the world, and He's calling us back. He's challenging us to reevaluate where we are. I believe evil days are ahead of us, sooner rather than later. I believe the recent fires were the first of many fires that are to come, but that they are also a sign of a coming great awakening. Before there can be a great awakening, there has to be a great darkness. And God wants us to be part of all of this. The Lord is calling our houses to prepare, physically, mentally, spiritually. The Lord is calling our church houses to prepare and become houses of prayer. We must stay in His presence corporately. And I'm going to take you back to Joel 2, where it says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babies. Let the bridegroom go out of his chamber." Let him go out of his chamber. And the bride from her dressing room. If you are shepherding a church right now, you are not called to keep the people in the stagnant place that they are in. Guess what? Not everyone is going to be on the same page. That's how the body of Christ works. But how can we inspire other people to be called up to a higher standard if we don't let the Holy Spirit move? If we don't sanctify the congregation? If there's not repentance in the congregation? God is calling us to a higher standard. And if you aren't going to get behind that, your church will be judged for it. I'm just telling you, I'm just sounding the alarm on this. The body that you are in will suffer the consequences. And leaders, do not take lightly the scripture that says teachers will be judged more harshly, because you have people under you that you are called to raise up to a higher standard. You are called to raise them up to be more like Jesus. You are called to raise them up to repentance. The church is about to be called up to battle and bat for our families, for our friends, and for our community. We cannot help others through our intellect. We must be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading us to snatch people from the fire. Fear and fire may be all around us, but His Spirit will lead us if we allow Him to. We must not look through the carnal. God is calling the body together to see in the spiritual. Just like Elisha, when his servant couldn't see what's around him, he said, "Open his eyes, Lord," and suddenly he could see all of the chariots of fire around him. We cannot look through the carnal. God is calling his body together to see in the spiritual. He's calling his body together. Okay, his body, not just you, not just me, his whole body. I heard him say, I'm calling them. I need bodies to be prevalent in spiritual gifts. They need to be prevalent in these things. We need to cultivate these things so the church is ready. We cannot hear with our ears and think with our hearts. We must walk in the Spirit for what's coming. Do not forsake the assembly. Meet more often. Now is the time. That's what I kept hearing. Now is the time. Not next year. Not 25 years from now because you think your church isn't ready. Not now. Now is the time. Now is the time that God is calling us up to a higher standard. Not just now, but for the last 2,000 years. We had the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to preach the gospel and raise people up to a higher standard. Okay? Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He came to raise the standard. He came to fulfill it and say, okay, now do this. And for the last several thousand years, we've fallen away from that. But especially the American church has fallen away from that. Because we're concerned about everybody's feelings. Well, Mr. So-and-so's not ready because the gospel offends him. Well, let it offend him. The word of God is like a two-edged sword separating soul and spirit. That's what the Bible says. That's what the word of God says. It baffles me. It baffles me to see churches and people who claim to be in Christ quench the Spirit of Christ, quench the Spirit of God. Forgive me, Lord, because I've done it too. I am guilty. I'm guilty of it. I sat in a restaurant one day and I was asking the Lord. I had been in prayer for a few days being like, you know what, God, it'd be really cool if I could sit in a restaurant and you drop a spiritual word into me for somebody I don't know. And a few days later, that is exactly what happened. And I started getting this word about this man sitting next to us who was just, he was just screaming obscenities and all kinds of things, you know, that he thought was funny. And the Lord started giving me like this download for him, and I stopped him. I said, no, I don't want to know. This man intimidates me. I could have told my husband what to say, but in that moment, the fear of man got me. And I shut God down. I shut him down. And I immediately repented. And I'm like, gosh, I asked for this. And he gave it to me. And I shut it down. We cannot keep doing that. We cannot keep doing that in our personal lives. We cannot keep doing that in our congregations. We cannot keep doing that in our families, in our friends, in our communities. God has called us to a higher standard. God has called us to a higher standard. And He will have His bride. The question is, are you seeing the kingdom or have you entered the kingdom? And that's a profound statement. we had a apostle from Nigeria come. He was talking about the story of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes and he says, you know, he says these three things. He says, I see you are a man. He's saying this to Jesus. I know you are from heaven. And I know that God is with you. But how? And at first Jesus says, well, certainly you've seen the kingdom then. You're all of these miracles, signs, and wonders. But you must be reborn. And Nicodemus says, well, how? You can't go back into your mother's womb and be reborn. And Jesus says, but in order to enter the kingdom, you must be reborn of water and spirit. Water and spirit. And so the apostle, his name is Cola, he challenged us. He said, at first he told Nicodemus, okay, you see the kingdom. You see the miracles, signs, and wonders. You see the healing. You see the deliverance. You see all this. You see the kingdom. But have you entered the kingdom? You are a man or a woman. You. I'm talking to you who's listening to this. You are from heaven, and God is with you. God is always with you. That's what he said. You're a man, you're from heaven, and God is with you. He was talking to Jesus. You are the same. You're a man or a woman, you're from heaven, and God is always with you. Miracle signs and wonders don't just follow believers to prove they're believers. We've taken that scripture completely out of context. Miracle signs and wonders are always available. They're always following us because God is always with us. Does that make sense? And this is what Cola was teaching us. It's not necessarily just to be proof that someone is a believer. Miracles, signs, and wonders are always with us because God is always with us. Even if we don't feel like God is with us, He is always with us. Always. And when we realize that, when we've been reborn of water and truth and spirit, then we enter into the kingdom. Now we aren't just watching the kingdom. Now we're in it. And in order to make it through what's coming, you know, I'm not even saying people won't lose their lives. That's not what I'm saying. But to make it through with peace, to make it through with just the complete and total realization that God is for us and it's all about Him, we cannot just be seeing the kingdom. We must be in the kingdom. We must be in the kingdom that is here, that He is establishing on earth, so that then one day we can be in His kingdom, not on earth. And so I leave all of this with you with some challenges. I challenge you to fast. Fasting is not giving up social media. Fasting is not just giving up one meal a day. Fasting is fasting, either a whole day of fasting or more than that. You could do 5 days. You could do 2 days, but at least a whole day of fasting. And when you fast, you don't just not eat and go about your day. No, you set aside time that whole day to pray. Some of you might have to take off work. Some of you might have to give up your Saturday and say, okay, don't bother me. Turn your phone off. I'm going into my prayer closet. I'm fasting. I'm praying. That's all I'm doing. Church leaders, congregations, people contending for reformation, encourage your body to meet more frequently. Once a month extra isn't enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Pray corporately. Don't just pray, but be quiet. Be quiet. Listen for God. Give the Spirit the opportunity to move among the people and give a word. Longer than 5 minutes, please. Let's do this for hours. Let's do this for hours. God doesn't care about your time. Doesn't care about your watch. He's going to move when He's going to move. And sometimes He can't move until He readies our hearts. And sometimes that takes hours. Sometimes that takes hours, okay? So if you're in the homestead world, God is calling us to prepare physically. He is calling us to prepare more than we've ever been prepared, and not just for you. He's calling us to prepare for our community because we're going to have to feed our family and friends. We're going to have to feed our neighbors. We're going to have to be discerning on this. I really can't stress that enough. You're going to have to pray for discernment But you're going to have to not be selfish. You're going to have to trust him. And I think the picture is very clear now. God has told us. It's not a speculation anymore. It's the truth. Something is coming. I need you to be prepared. You have these next few years to really prepare. Because the next 3 years might be bad. But what's coming in the next 10 years is unheard of. And so I just leave this encouragement with you. If there is anything that is hindering you from dropping baggage, if there's any divisions in your family or your community or your church, get rid of it. Search God's heart. Set aside time to be with him and just get to know God's voice. It's so important in these times. And I hope that you take this word to heart and you encourage others too. Thanks for listening this week, guys. Until next time, happy homesteading.